Hey everybody, we're back.
Hello.
Hello.
so yeah, this time it actually is Thursday, which is what I always say, whether it's Thursday or not. And I don't know about you guys, but I have a strange desire to go out and buy an Apple product.
And why is that?
Oh. See, you don't watch TV. Television.
Yeah, I guess not.
That song is on an iPod commercial.
Oh.
It's by an artist named Feist.
Yeah, Scully identified that for me.
What?
Scully told me who that was. Like, I thought it was a Bjork song.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because
then you forgot her name and I had to identify it.
Yeah, that's
right, true. Because I was like, I identified
it. No, I knew it was, yeah, that is true.
Very confusing when two people do the same thing. Yeah.
Hey, the annoying buzz is there, so we have arrived.
Annoying buzz?
There's always a buzz, apparently, when I'm broadcasting, just always, no matter what. It has gone across headsets, across versions of the software, across multiple computers. I think it's just the way my voice sounds.
I mean, it's not the fact that we're always on a splitter.
I don't know.
I mean,
maybe we're on this awesome three-way splitter. Eventually, we're just gonna have like
split a
Cthulhu face hanging off of my computer because they're, although. Hardly ever do more than three of us do a radio show.
We've done four a lot.
Yeah, we do. Okay,
which
we
is
do
two.
Do,
which
we
actually
do four
requires
a lot on
three
Thursdays when you're
double
in,
splitters.
When you're in, yeah, this three-way thing is going to be useless if we want the sort of resistances across them to be the same or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. I guess if you only had two people on this, I don't know if it would make a difference. But
I guess I ought to eventually let Amplitude set us up a real
bomb.
Having a really good time talking about bombs and explosions and missiles at the airport. It just kept coming up every time. We're just sitting there waiting for the baggage to come off the carousel, and he would, we got to talking about GPS. and the slowdown timing error that was introduced into consumer GPS to stop them from using it on missiles.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, this is probably not the place to be talking about missiles. So then later on, she said something about, you know, you made a joke about how, yeah, yeah, we only paid for a half hour of parking, so at that point the car is going to explode. Again, saying, at that point the car is going to explode. Probably not the most sensible thing to do at the airport.
Especially not at Logan. It just has its history of...
Hey, that girl was
speaking
at the...
Speaking of, isn't today...
Was that girl at the mystery hunt? I think I saw her. She popped
she
in
She popped
for
into
a
our
minute.
Team for a while, and then she went over to another team.
Yeah.
Like, very not kosher. Yeah.
Isn't today anniversary of the big Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
It might be. I don't remember when they did it.
Imagine prior, that girl prior. Doing something sort of thoughtless.
Yeah. Yeah. She came to the Halloween party where my costume was as... I went to Halloween as her.
Basically. Really?
Yeah.
Did she think it was funny?
Yeah, she did.
All right, so I took a bunch of questions. Let for every question we didn't answer on last this Monday show, let's answer one tonight.
Okay.
So I took a bunch of questions from earlier days and stuff that I felt like we should have talked about. And I made us a little question list. Glebe says, whatever happened to the idea of combining pizza toppings to make a mushroom and sausage pizza and so on? We never really came up with a satisfying way to do it that didn't involve us creating 5,000 pizzas or else creating a boring pizza crafting system.
I mean, we need some sort of pizza heraldic cube, I think. Where you just put a pizza and a bunch of toppings into a cube and out comes...
Right, there are some specific recipes of pizza that you can use.
Yeah. And one of them will open the cow pizza level.
Right. You put spaghetti. Spaghetti is something that people put on pizzas.
Like words, like warts and leg was ever important.
Yeah, pepperoni. No, I say like pepperoni, mushrooms, and warts leg. But it was spaghetti mushrooms. I'd like a pizza with sandwiches on it, please. yeah. I didn't start drinking early enough is the problem. A guy whose name is a bunch of letters I'm not going to read says, why does the spooky damage from the bonfire stories ignore elemental resistance and damage reduction? No matter what I do, I'm getting about 45 damage. Yeah, it was fairly recent in the KOL development history that I sort of generalized a function for figuring out how much damage an elemental damage source did, because it used to only be, like, if monsters had special attacks, they used to just ignore your resistances.
Huh.
I think that I figured out... Well, you know what? I didn't. I sat around with Sorab trying to work out the math, but we found a function that kind of approximates...
What you want.
What I want. But I've been thinking that what I might do is shit-can the caps on elemental resistance, and... What? No, yeah, hot stuff's shaking his head like I'm a douchebag. anyway, the reason that the resistance doesn't apply to that is because I didn't code it to use that function, and I probably could, so I probably will. I meant to before I got on the radio,
spooky
so that I could say, "Hey,
form worked though," as I recall. Yeah, it reduced the
damage
to one.
Yeah, because that is in add hit points. It's not in. I guess I could. I don't know. Add hit points takes a player ID. The figuring out how much elemental damage is done has to take a player object, because it has to get your resistances from every different source. Yeah. And it can check effects for free, but it can't check the total resistance. Anyway, what I want to do is make it so... Like, basically, I would try and curve the formula such that the first four or five levels of resistance were better than they are now, but make it so you basically can approach like 95% resistance or 99, I mean approach 100. Maybe you approach 100, because maybe you get 30 levels of hot resist and it's okay if that's equivalent to having hot form on, you know? But basically it'll allow us to, at high levels, like, okay, this thing does 10,000 hot damage, so the only way to get it down to a manageable level is to have every hot resist gear and every hot resist effect in the game in order to be able to deal with that. And I think it's neat, because it makes, you know, also, if we do if we do the whole real-time PvP thing, like, resistances are going to become incredibly important against spellcasters, right? So, that's... Yeah. That's right.
uh-huh.
That's going to be weird, too, because... Yeah. Anyway, basically the idea is that it does not become... Like, having, say, a Rainbow Pearl earring, having the Dallas Dynasty Falcon Crest shield doesn't just make it so every other bit of resistance gear and effects and stuff in the game are completely worthless, right? It allows it to scale up, and it does so in a sane way, right? What is your hesitation? What is your misgiving?
I haven't thought about it enough to be sure.
It's fucked up how hard the math is for that. Like,
well, I mean, we're just out of practice, you know. Yeah, I think in high school we could have figured it out.
No, I think in high school we could have figured it out. I didn't even take calculus in high school. I have never been very good at math.
Calculus wouldn't have helped necessarily.
Yeah, no, it what it's about. Well,
okay. Math analysis would have helped.
I guess the problem that okay, so maybe some of you math kids that are listening, let's say that what I want is a curve whereby moving from 0 to 1, you add 10. Let's just imagine that, because these are the sort of numbers that I worked with. Then moving from 1 to 2, you add 10 times 0.9, which is, say, 9. Just imagine that 10 times 0.9 is 9. And then moving from 2 to 3, you add 9 times 0.9, so 8.1 or whatever,
mm-hmm.
that becomes. So basically, for every integer that x goes up, y goes up by...
90% of the previous
jump. Yeah, by what, 0.9 to the 1 minus x? Like, I mean, you can define the function, right? But then you have to integrate it, and what the fuck? Like, you know, nobody knows... Excel is able to kind of fake the function with some... It fakes the function on a nasty dunction.
And we can make a graph in Excel that is the function that we want. We just don't know what the function is.
Sort of.
What do you mean, sort of?
It can't figure out what the function is, right? Yeah, that's right. The thing. We can make a graph in Excel by just... by the thing is, doing it non-iteratively. Doing it iteratively, which it's not... It wouldn't be a huge deal to just do it. You know, to say that the value
yeah,
of this just loop through it.
If we wanted to do it all over the place, it'd be kind of annoying.
But not really. I mean, we just have a single function. We have a single function that is just like a math function that returns the percentage resistance. But it would be nice to understand how that curve worked, right? It would not.
It's a logarithm curve.
It would be nice to be able
right?
to. Like, it, yeah, it's what is it though? It's like, Sorab wrote out the curve that. It's like. What do we want?
I don't remember what it was. 120 minutes of two dudes who haven't done math in a long time trying to do some math.
It is basically a fairly simple curve, but just like nobody knew how to integrate it. And what we actually the problem is that nobody knew how to turn it upside down, right? Even though you think that'd be pretty simple.
Minus sign.
Yeah, a minus sign. But
I mean, you know, when I was taking math analysis, we had to come up with, we'd get a curve and we had to describe it, or we'd have to like map out a curve from a function, and like I feel like those are the exact skills that we would have if we had realized how important math was and not fucked around.
Stay in school, kids. Don't smoke crack.
Yeah.
Auto Man says you can take the Christmas message off the store page now. Thank you, Auto Man. I did after reading that. Notech says, can you make the Mega Gem and Spooky Raven Spectacles closet/discard/smash? It'd be nice to get that crap out of inventory for non-ascender/long runs. Thanks, guys. While I do sympathize with the quest item bloat, and I think that we can probably take some steps to minimize that, I don't want you to be able to get rid of Spooky Raven Spectacles, because I want the option to make them important for something else in the future. And I don't want non-ascenders to be able to fuck themselves.
Maybe they already are important for something else in the future.
That's also a possibility. Grethko says, so let me get this straight. Completing mini-quests in the level 12 quest means that with each fight I defeat more opponents and get less items overall? Yep, that's
your trade-off.
The joy of optimizing.
I was going to say, I mean, it also means that the quest takes less time.
Yeah, so either you complete those mini-quests, you know, in the beginning... so that you can get through the battlefield in fewer turns, which is what the Ascenders want to do, or you kill all of the hippies and then do all the side quests, so that way you sort of get everything.
Kind of.
Do you?
Well, I mean, it's...
You don't get the best of everything,
it
right?
Is like, hard, yeah, it is it's hard to get certain stuff.
It's hard to get
stuff.
Absolutely maximal returns from everything. Yeah. But, that's because the level 12 quest is awesome.
It's true.
It's weird, because, that was the thing that I was probably the least sure of with NS13.
We had very serious discussions in a pub in England.
Yeah, it took
getting
us
that thing to work.
It took us a long time to come up with something. And I mean, it was neat because it ended up being this sort of hybrid of all of our individual conceptions of how it ought to work, and all of our ideas sucked
individually.
But combining them like that was an interesting exercise in collaboration. Reddening points out that the plastic pumpkin bucket is still doing physical damage against non-elementally aligned, physically resistant monsters, which I know why that's happening. It's just not like a quick fix. I just have to remember to fix it.
You're making me belchy.
And to stop belching.
Yeah.
So belching for you is like yawning. When I belch, it makes you belch. Or like vomiting. Foggy says, "Hey guys, game mechanics question for you. Some familiars have a hit or miss rate that fluctuates with their weight. That is to say, 2x weight for most attacking familiars. Or for example, I always mix up IE and EG. Is this success necessarily improved by things that increase a familiar's weight, or do some things not count? For example, will a 20-pound ninja snowflake armed with an icicle katana hit as often as a 20-pound ninja snowflake buffed by heavy petting versus a 20-pound ninja snowflake buffed by your bar whip and 3 tiny plastics? If those all give the same number of pounds, which I'm assuming they do, otherwise the question wouldn't...
Right.
Maybe it says, then yes.
They should all... Yeah, the pounded should be...
I don't think consistent. That there are any familiars that have equipment that alters their to-hit rate in any way other than... I don't think that there are any familiars that hit based on anything other than their weight or a constant, I guess, is what I'm saying. So yes. Topspin says, "Since you guys are all such sticklers about grammar and proper use of the English language, what do you think about E.E. Cummings' poetry and its capitalization or lack thereof?" I put that one in there because I know that you're an E.E. Cummings fan.
Yeah, he's my favorite poet. Stuff, but...
yeah. Really? Yeah, I don't know. He said a few clever things, but on the whole, I don't like that sort of free form, free verse poetry.
It has a lot of structure to it. It's effectively, in a lot of ways, its own. I wouldn't say its own language, but it's definitely, it got a lot of internal consistencies that if you once you've read a lot of his poetry,
maybe
you start to notice
try
things.
Some more then.
Like pronouns and stuff like that tend to have very specific meanings.
I generally I prefer. Well, I hate to put it this way, but I prefer stuff that rhymes. But I prefer like more lyrical stuff. I like Robert Frost is my favorite poet.
Look out, birds. It's Robert Frost. some people like to smoke a lot of hash, and some people like to earn a lot of cash, and some people like jewelry with a lot of flash, but I like poems where the last line is inexplicably several sentences long for comedic effect, such as poems written by Ogden Nash. That's my Ogden Nash poem that I just made up.
That's excellent.
I like Hass.
I don't actually like Ogden Nash all that much.
Who does a sort of halfway in between, right? It's blank verse, doesn't necessarily rhyme, but it has just some of the most incredible descriptions. Like, he was our poet laureate of the U.S. for a couple of years. Okay. Have you ever read any Gerard Manley Hopkins? His poetry rhymes. There's a couple of his poems that are like, my favorite poem is actually a poem by him. But he was a Jesuit, and so a lot of his poetry is like very heavily religiously themed. But he's got some really nice poetry as well.
I like T.S. Eliot and Yeats.
I liked Keats a lot when I was like in high school, I think. I haven't really read any of the Romantics in a long time either. But yeah, E.E. Cummings, I'll pick up and read. I have the collected works.
I should look at that. My exposure to poetry has been basically limited to the sort of, you know, one or two selected works of every important poet that appear in, like, sort of English crit classes anthologies, you know?
Yeah.
Which, I mean...
Just English crit. Hey-ya! Just, yeah. English ninjas have very high crit rates. Sorry.
Asian porn has very high crit rates, too. Yeah. God, that's my favorite joke.
I mean, what do you like, think about, like, Sylvia Plath?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know that I've probably read a single poem by Sylvia Plath. I just don't remember.
Okay.
Naked Jew says, I think the plural form for tiny plastic blooper should be tiny plastic bloopers and practical jokes, which is pretty funny. Grethko says, using a molybdenum magnet does not count as a round of combat, bug or feature. I think when you use it and it doesn't do anything, it doesn't count as a round of combat.
Huh.
Because it's like an item failure. There is a specific thing that can happen in combat, which is that an item fails. And that... It was largely an anti-stasis measure... But not a real anti-stasis measure, just a measure for making stasis more annoying. Ha 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 ha. Because that's what we did.
That's what you do.
We wanted stasis to die the death of 1,000 paper cuts, you know. Naked Jew says, whatever happened to the mining part of the guild quest progression? I think that puzzle is still 100% designed, and it just needs to be...
Implemented.
Laboriously.
Yeah.
And very complicatedly implemented and drawn. Mellowcork says, any chance of an easier method of finding fairy gravy being implemented? I would not be surprised if there was some sort of haiku dungeon revamp on deck.
It's possible that the plural form has just changed.
Oh, yeah.
It is. It is possible.
Mr. Ensberger 91 says, I noticed on the announcement that it said to send in questions/comments. I would like to make the comment that my hair looks fantastic today. Well, good. You know what looked fantastic yesterday and the day before was my mustache. Got the wax.
Upper lip. Slicking
hip. Down a little bit. Yeah.
Pointy on the ends.
Make a new group of friends. This changes everything.
Yeah. So I'm aghast that you've never seen the animated Tick series.
Oh, wow.
I would like to...
I haven't seen most of the episodes, but the ones that I have seen are incredible.
It was kind of hard to watch that segment. Like, I don't like the animation,
really?
And the voices drive me nuts.
God.
It needs to be Patrick...
It's so funny.
Like, they need to redub it with Patrick Warburton. Like, he is the Tick to me.
That's so weird. That is so strange, because the animated show was just phenomenal when it was on.
No, I got it.
And it, you know, of course...
The one, my favorite episode is The Tick versus Science. You seen the one where they go to the mad science fair?
See, it was weird for me to see anyone else, like the live action Tick. That seemed all wrong, you know? So I guess it's hard to say.
Chicky says, there's been talk lately about how much of a total pain farming anti-cheese is in Bad Moon. Can you just have the anti-cheese or baby goat drop in a special Bad Moon adventure like the baby goat in the frat house? Oh, that's kind of funny, actually. I did... Okay. Hot Stuff was probably the single most instrumental person in sort of conceiving and placing the Bad Moon adventures.
Oh, yeah.
Did we have a reason for not putting anti-cheese in there? Because it kind of seems like...
I don't remember. It's been a long time since we had that entire long list of
Right. I would not be averse to finding a zone that did not have a special Bad Moon adventure and putting anti-cheese in there as a special Bad Moon adventure.
I'm going to see if I have notes on that, because it's been so long that I'm not really sure.
I don't remember. You know, we had that report that I wrote that was kind of useless because it had to be manually updated.
Huh. Yeah.
A lot of times I will spend several hours writing a report that then we spend several seconds consulting and then never look at again, which is frustrating. Anyway, that is definitely something to consider. As long as there wasn't some good, like, reason we had for not doing it that I've just forgotten, which is sort of why I wanted to ask Hot Stuff, like, I don't have a problem with it. Speaking of Bad Moon, Sargi says, are there any plans of having Heartbreaker's Hotel open soonish? We went out and talked to Mr. Mag last night, and we had a few beers, and he aired some grievances about Bad Moon and made some suggestions. The White Castle burger change today was his by his request. We were talking about the idea of putting in some sort of time-consuming, laborious, deeply suboptimal...
Laborious, perhaps, even?
Is laborious not a word?
I don't think so.
Laborious.
I thought.
I think you're wrong. Right. I mean, you're right that laborious is a word, and why would laborious also be a word?
Would we have put it in the forum as opposed to the wiki?
We put it on the whiteboard.
Right.
We put it on the whiteboard in the living room, in the office. Right. Yeah, no, I don't... It should be in the wiki, right? All the writing was done.
Yeah, I mean, that I can find. I just don't remember where... I have no idea where the...
There has to have been a list that I used to figure out what... We suck at information archival.
Yeah.
And you know, I save everything, so it's... I mean, honestly, we may end up having to just consult, like, a photograph of the whiteboard that's on my computer at the office. Anyway, basically this really long, annoying quest that would permanently unlock Bad Moon for your character, and that it would be built around Heartbreaker's Hotel. That Heartbreaker's Hotel would basically, you know, become something that existed for the sake of that quest. Which, that, you know, I guess that would kind of suck, but I don't know. Yankatexi says, do you guys sometimes add content without announcing it? For instance, if something were added for the plinth or Fernsworthy's letter and we had to perform an action we've tried before, would we know to try something again? Well, I don't generally like to put in content without announcing it.
There are definitely times we've done that.
We've put minor stuff in sometimes, but nothing.
When the tiny plastics were first introduced, they weren't announced.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I think you leaked it, but you didn't announce it.
Huh.
You were drunk at the time.
I was drunk a lot back then. Those were good times.
They were blurry times.
They were. Dr. Van Van Mojo says, since people who play this game collect all kinds of crazy things, would you consider, as a rule of thumb, that whenever you retroactively make an existing item into a quest item, consider making it irreversibly craftable into something that isn't a quest item? I don't know if people were collecting I don't know if people were collecting pirate fledges, but they'd be kind of a neat thing to collect, and if I was collecting them, the most recent trivial update would be a downer. Possibly make the fledges ply into some sort of jewelry?
I don't know.
Yeah,
ambivalent.
It hasn't been around long enough for people to have developed really serious collections, I don't think, so it's just... I don't know. Fineldar says, I was bored Saturday night, so I decided to go to that Boing Boing website I hear you guys talking about sometimes. On it, there was a recipe for brownies along with the KOL coffee pixie mug. I know, man. I kind of felt like we had arrived to some extent when our merchandise just starts randomly showing up in pictures other places.
Yep.
We passed it around in a spreadsheet, by the way.
Oh.
Which I found.
What?
The list of Bad Moon only.
99 Bad Moon only adventures on the wall. 99 Bad Moon only adventures. Take one down, pass it around in a spreadsheet. Yeah. Thok says, no. No. Thok says, yes. Thok says. Weird.
You know, I think we just... The stuff that was impossible, we fixed, and the stuff that was just going to be hard, we didn't fix, necessarily. You know, because it is still possible, it is just kind of a pain in the butt.
Right, because you just have to shore a lot, and it's expensive, and takes a lot of turns.
Right.
Which you don't have in Bad Moon. We really only put in items for things that you could not otherwise get.
I believe so. Because, I mean, everything else is kind of just, you know, a bunch of different kinds of buffs that are just strategic.
I mean, that's just a nuisance that is only going to happen, like, a third of the time, and so, like, yeah.
Or one might say two-fifths of the time.
Is that how it works?
Well, I mean, it chooses two.
Right, okay. Thok says, why are the cling film outfit items not zappable when, for example, the duct tape outfit items are? Partly because the unzappability of outfits didn't exist until the pirate revamp rolled out.
Yeah, I mean, we probably would go back and...
I did, and then Dev talked me out of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know what you know, that doesn't seem like the kind of thing that would happen. Shaggy Shag says, Jick, whatever happened to Bob-ombs made of black pixels? You sounded like you really liked that idea. Also, we need a giant alligator ultra-rare encounter in the sewer. The sewer is not a script, or is not an adventure zone, so we couldn't really have an ultra-rare in there. Radlad says, if KOL were ever made into... as far as the Bob-ombs... I do like that idea, I just, you know, kind of haven't got around to it. It's another one of those things that will eventually happen.
Like Armageddon.
Yeah. Radlad says, if KOL will ever made into a live-action movie, I see Mel Brooks directing. Who would you pick?
Mel Brooks hasn't really been funny since, like, Blazing Saddles. No, Spaceballs.
One could say the same thing about KOL.
Ooh!
That we haven't been funny since the 70s?
Since Spaceballs?
Yeah.
How Spaceballs are the 70s? They are equivalent.
Blazing Saddles in the 70s, wasn't it? Or maybe it was in the 80s.
No, that was 70s. Possibly earlier.
I don't really know. I don't really...
It's a mad world?
The Coen brothers.
What about them?
That's who I would have to...
Well, because they haven't yet directed a film in the style of a stick figure RPG.
Yeah, you know.
I just really like the Coen brothers because every film is in a different style and a different geographic location. Like, they just change everything up every time, you know, which is cool. They want to have done the whole shebang.
Who would we get to play us?
Well, is it KOL the movie, or what is the... I don't know.
I'd say a movie about us as characters in KOL. So people are playing us, and, you know...
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
No.
Would there be, like, some sort of Matrix-y bits where, like, someone hacks Rose the entire webs and is able to create meat out of thin air and, like, whole racks of animated guns?
Yeah. Isanbul says, how much longer will we be going through old items of the month and whatnot before returning to the Grimmicite raffles? There were 43 days worth total.
I don't remember.
Or 42.
You divided into a bunch of different lots of stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's going... Count how many items of the month there were between the one that's in there now and the Dark Jill, and that's how many days of...
Because you're going backwards, right?
Yeah, I'm going backwards. So that's how many days there are. The raffles are going to get less and less exciting because there's, you know, like, two of everything prior to...
But...
I mean, they're also more valuable.
Yeah, they're also more valuable stuff.
Like the hand turkey ones, people are going to go nuts.
You think?
Yeah. Nuts!
Yeah, okay.
There, as far as I know, there are no hand turkeys or Jills in the mall anymore.
Huh.
I don't think. I mean, this is the only opportunity that a lot of people are ever going to have for it. You know?
Yeah. We are sinking billions and billions of meat with this.
Billions and billions.
Billions. I'm super high. All the time. Carl Sagan was super high all the time. Also, says Istanbul, when we do return to the Grimmicite raffles, will we be returning to the second run of items, or will we be going on to a third run? No, the second
run. Yeah, it'll be the second run.
Changling Bob says, back in the day, you were wondering about some kind of skill like the mages evocate in World of Warcraft. So, Tome of Evocation? You know, that would be an interesting thing to put in as a tome, right? Something that completely refilled your mana.
Or 60%. Or based on your spirit.
Based on your spirit.
Yes. Well, it used to be spirit. It's just,
yeah,
it's just
flat. It used to just be like a plus 1,000% spirit buff or something.
It was like 1,500% regeneration, I think.
Changling Mob also says, when I wasn't playing, I still listened to the radio shows, probably for the same reason that I read MMO blogs, as that's kind of what it is, only in specific rather than in general. Yeah, I see Changling Bob posting on Tobolds every once in a while.
Huh.
Yeah. And I'm like, hey, I remember that guy.
That's kind of cool, actually.
It is. Like, you know, it's
there's
neat.
A community of people who are concerned about game development in the abstract.
Yeah, and that's like, I like that those people are interested in us to some extent. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it makes me feel like, you know, we're actually a part of something. We're actually involved in the advancement of the state of an art. You know, and that makes me all warm and fuzzy inside. Momoka says, Monopoly is only unfun because no one actually plays by the official rules. Parents made up house rules to make the game cause fewer fights among their children. The children remember those rules and tell their kids. For instance, if you don't buy a property you land on, the bank is supposed to auction it off.
Huh.
I didn't know that. I don't know that I ever
played. I'm aware of that,
that
and
way,
like
but...
things like, you don't put all the crap on free parking, but you're wrong. It's still
yeah, it's,
a really
it's,
shit
it's
game.
It's still not fun. It's very popular.
Yeah.
So that is what it is.
Huh, so if you don't buy a property, the bank auctions it off, can you still bid on it? Can you buy stuff for cheaper? Because, man, that would have made my single-playing games go much faster.
Yeah, I'd like to pay $1. Any bids against me? No.
No.
Shop Troll says, what if you did a PvP system like you described, but players can select only a certain number of skills to use in PvP, a la Guild Wars? There were a few questions about the PvP, and then this is where I left off in the beginnings of the questions that are still in Radio Bugbear's mailbox are also about PvP. We've been talking a little bit more about the whole PvP idea that we had. The thing is, it's something that would be really awesome if we could do it right. I'm just not sure how big of a deal it would be to do it right, you know?
Is it a one-week project, or is it a three-month project,
yeah.
Or is it a six-month project? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it would be interesting to sit down and think about it. I mean, a nice thing about it is that it requires us to make a lot of decisions and then say, hey, Xenophobe, this is what this should do, right?
Right.
And it's just a project for him to work on.
What I find interesting is
it doesn't require writing, it doesn't require drawing, it doesn't require really conceptualization. Like, it's just a bunch of coding work.
We had talked briefly about the idea of having concurrent or, you know, semi-synchronous PvP a while back, and you were just sort of dubious of the possibility of it working at all. And then I think working on a different game that has PvP sort of in mind from the very beginning has given you the hope that it would be feasible.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Understanding what is possible with Ajax also sort of... And the fact that Xeno is just rapidly developing some really just fucking...
People are just going to be blown away.
Yeah,
skills
yeah.
with... What, like, yeah, man.
His web... Foo is definitely 2.0.
Pantsless said, for the PvP revamp, how about a system that only uses skills that you earn by PvPing? I would want to avoid that, because that requires us to make a whole new game, right? The appeal of doing a real-time PvP that uses the existing game mechanics, in my mind, is largely that it is, at its inception, a PvP game with an immense amount of content built into it. Because it uses...
the everything
content,
from the game.
You know, every piece of gear in the game, you know, and
we would, I feel like we would definitely need to add elements that gave some benefit to the people that have been PvPing in the current system for a long time. And you came up with some interesting ideas.
I had an idea that we would basically, I don't want to recode every fucking combat item in the game to work in PvP, because that's it's a tremendous amount of work, and it's kind of a dumb idea. So, no go on several levels there. Familiars, same deal, right? Like, we just, you cannot PvP with familiars. And that's just okay.
They should just fight each other.
On the sidelines?
Yeah.
We could, you know, write some scripts about what happens when the familiars fight each other. That, you know, just for some color, sure. But... the idea that I had was, let's imagine that we don't want to fuck over tattoos and trophies. Like, those are the sort of least, I mean, those are things that people do anyway, right? Let's say that there's arduous PvP minigame X, right? Which, say, white Canadians or whatever. Let's say that there is a store in Little Canada that sells some combat items that you can only use in PvP. And the
reputation.
Yeah, the inventory that is available to you goes up with the number of white Canadians that you have drunk, for instance. And we look at where people are, and we base the spread on that, or whatever. You know, we basically do something that makes it not worthless to have focused on the old PvP system. But, I don't know, you know, like, I would trade... I know that there are people who really like PvPing in KOL right now, but I would trade a less balanced but more fun system that 10 times as many people will use for that PvP system in a heartbeat, because I just think it's better for the health of the game in general, right?
You know what would also be better for the game? Would be to the ability to just sneak up behind somebody and just kill them instantly.
Yeah. Yeah, pre-Trammel Ultima Online was a lot of fun, I hear.
Pre-Trammel?
Yeah, and Trammel was the at that point the game became opt-in PvP.
What is Trammel?
It's an area or something.
Huh.
It's either a shard that had no PvP, that only had opt-in PvP, or it's like a new continent that they added that...
With that expansion.
If you started on that continent, you could play on that continent and never get PK'd.
Huh. So, like, anybody could just come up to you and kill you?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
That's one word for it.
I mean, what was... Were there... I mean, was there a drawback to dying? Like, what was the...
You lost all of your equipment and all of your experience points. I don't know. And you had to...
And they charged your credit card for $100.
Yeah, you had to pay an extra subscription fee for that month to get your character back. I don't know, but I mean, you know, at the very least, I feel like if I had ever tried to play Ultima Online, I would have just been perpetually extremely fucking annoyed. You know, so...
Would have had to buy a bunch of new keyboards.
Also, you know, the fact that I'm pretty sure that the sort of move to opt-in PvP was also accompanied by a tenfold increase in the number of people playing the game. I don't know that that's true, but I do know that at least 90% of people that were playing, given the option to opt out of PvP, chose to do so.
Huh.
Like, that's...
I mean, the
thing is, this kind of PvP is not going to be a griefing vector, right? It's even sort of less of a griefing vector because you won't... The matches will be started in some kind of lobby, right? You won't be able to...
Just arbitrarily.
I mean, the griefing is going to be hustling, basically, right? Like, you're gonna set yourself up like you'll be easy to beat, and then pull something out that somebody doesn't know you have and just own all over them, right? So, I mean, that's...
Like an 8-foot cock.
Yes.
That's the sound it'll make.
Everybody already knows that I have an 8-foot cock.
So I see.
That analogy doesn't really work for me. Dazeek says, as a PvP idea, Mysticality could act like muscle and for spell hits. Moxie could similarly act against spells. I don't know that... Oh, weird. Oh, I need to push out the,
words.
Yeah, I need to push out the words from my mouth. I need to push out the burps.
He's not this gassy everywhere. It's just when he's in my room.
It's nature's bounty.
It is nature's bounty. Okay. I forgot to push out the item description thing. This artwork. Hot stuff made me an animation. And Steiny brought me a Danish, but Hot Stuff made me an animation, and it's fucking cool. It's like he brought my imagination to life.
Ooh.
I know, man. What can I say?
It's puppies frolicking in a field.
Yep. That's what I've always wanted to have. Just, you know, nothing but frolicking. Frolic is an incredibly gay word.
You think?
Yeah. Anyway, the cosmetic enchantments weren't showing up on the item of the month.
Oh, right.
I'm hoping I haven't actually been paying attention to dev chat, so I'm all those xenophobes in there. So if there was anything missing, I'm sure that he just fixed it. He probably already fixed the item description thing before I even did it.
But now that you've done it twice, it'll be doubly good.
Yeah, and there'll be two copies of each of them. Anyway, as far as Pantsless's suggestion, I don't think that I would want to do a new PvP game that requires us to come up with a whole new set of skills that people gain, because it's...
I like the idea of there being some cool PvP skills, but not as the whole game.
I mean, it's also possible that we could find the skills that are less useful in the PvE game and make them do something different in the PvP game that you know, you suddenly have a whole different set of priorities there. As far as the Dazeek's idea about mysticality acting like muscle for spell hits, I think that it's okay for spells to auto-hit because, you know, elemental resistance just comes into play. So even, especially if we do the sort of asymptotic resistance, like, because, I mean, I don't know how it should work, right? Like, when you're standing in the lobby saying, I want to PvP somebody, you know, you obviously will have to put some kind of restrictions on it, or we can do, like, the official PvP is like a ladder where you just say that you want a ladder match, and it randomly assigns you an enemy, so that there's not, like, that rank camp.
There should be like a dual option and a ladder option.
Yeah.
And the ladder option will be computer matching, so that you can't.
Yeah. it's largely going to depend on how many people are doing it at any given time, right? What is feasible for that. But my question is, if you were, I think that putting an MMG aspect into it, right? Like, so let's say there's the PvP lobby. You say, all right, I will fight whoever within certain restrictions. We need to figure out some way to divide it into some sort of manageable tiers, like how, like, tough of a player do you want to fight, right? And I've got some ideas on that, but I don't know that they're good ones. I mean, you know, like a gear threshold for, you know, I won't fight anybody who's wearing anything that requires more than 30 of a stat to equip.
But I mean, does that advantage all the people who have Mr. Store stuff?
Items. Yeah. I mean.
Although,
are those things good? I mean, what are the...
If you're comparing them to, you know, if it's a stat requirement thing...
But are they going to be good against another player?
I don't know.
Is what I'm saying.
It depends on how that happens, like, how that falls out.
They're not... But that's what I'm saying. I mean, the Mr. Store items are largely valuable because of their, like, you know... They have easy equip requirements or whatever, but, like, there's nothing greater than, like, 100 power that you can equip at level 0 and you know, oh no, plus monster level. Like, what, you know, what is plus monster level going to do in PvP? I'm saying nothing, you know, like...
If it's going to be narratively, like, it pisses off the monsters, it should piss off the other player and make them better. Plus monster level should be the bane of PvP.
Yeah.
You know, if you're really badass in PvP, you know, you wear some hockey sticks when you go in there. That's how you prove that you can kick ass.
Right. But anyway, like, I will fight anybody with certain restrictions, however we decide we want to do those restrictions, right, in a way that just me. And also, I'm wagering 10,000 meat on this fight.
Mm.
So, you know, anybody who's willing to bet 10,000 meat against me. So that's where the real hustling would come into play, right? Like, I mean, I
that's a lot more interesting than the MMG.
The thing is, it probably wouldn't be as popular.
I don't know.
Why the fuck do people like the MMG? Like, it's...
Because you make me...
I mean, no offense to the guy who created Rafflebot in the first place, but...
He identified a need and filled it.
A need which I, as a guy who thinks about what sorts of things are fun and tries to design things that are fun, I would be kind of ashamed of myself for coming up with a game as dumb as the MMG.
What?
Right? It's just kind of not a game, you know? It's like...
I think you're going to find that there's a lot of people who strategize over it, you know, and like that kind of thing. I mean, there's the whole gambler's fallacy argument to be made about it, but in practice, you know, people enjoy it a lot.
I know, which is what gets... I mean, the thing is, I think if we made something that was like the MMG, but with a better game from our perspective attached to it, it would be less popular than the MMG.
I mean, the fact that people want to be part of the community and hang out in chat and stuff like that and still do something while they're playing KOL...
Yeah.
Probably lends it at least some of its popularity.
I also wonder if we do this PvP thing. I mean, do the number of PvP fights that you're allowed to participate in per day, how do we rig that? I mean, do we...
Maybe that's for ladder games. It's what is currently allowed, and the gear that does that still affects that. And if for duels, it's...
For normal games, yeah, where you're just fighting whoever. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. This is... It's all kind of speculative until we come up with a lot more.
Yeah.
Notions. And see, now we're getting everybody's hopes up, and then
You know, if we end up just never doing it, that's gonna be really sad. But I mean, it'll be interesting to see if people are excited about it, though, right? Like, if there's a lot of enthusiasm for it, then that's okay. We've obviously got a niche that it's worth spending a lot of our time.
That's true.
And also, you know, like I said, this is mostly gonna be a xenophobe project, and almost all of the stuff that we're working on right now doesn't really
require
a lot of work from him, so like
that's true.
You know,
that's something he can. So that's something he can do while we're working on other stuff.
Yep.
it's just funny that we're in the middle of like four,
but
medium sized projects.
But that's what we do, you know.
And now you're talking about adding a larger another one. Whatever. Yeah.
But it's really, we only have to do the fun part of this one.
That's
right?
True.
So it's. The move says, "Hello, gents. I listened to your PvP conversation. If you were to make such a complicated fight script for PvP, which was more complicated than the current fight script, wouldn't it make more sense to just overhaul the fight script?" No. A PvP fight script would not be nearly as complicated as the existing fight script. No familiars, no items, except the ones that we designed specifically
for PvP. The reason the fight script is so complicated is it's sprawling, because there are so many different things that one person can do in a fight. And a lot of it had to be hard-coded.
I mean, the bulk of the game logic is in a fight script, so it's...
Yeah. And, I mean... And Jake's been working a lot lately to take a lot of that out and sort of generalize stuff. But, I mean, we'll come up with some kind of interesting mechanic or whatever, and it just doesn't make any sense to generalize it for one use. And then we'll end up using it three or four times, and then finally, you know, it makes sense to go back and generalize or whatever. But that code grew very, very organically over a long, long period of time.
Yeah. Should we take a break?
If you like.
I could use a beer. Should we just play some random Feist songs?
Sure.
Guys, I have no idea if these songs are any good. Here's one called The Water. Here's one called Sea Lion. And then one called...
Well, there was the other one that was really good from the...
Which I figured we'd go out on.
Oh, okay. Well, fine. So this is an all Feist show?
Sure.
Okay.
Two songs will be enough. All right, we'll see you kids in a fuse.
Woo! In a fuse.
That was my fuse. I used tea kettles as fuses in all of my bombs, and that's why none of them ever explode.
From and deliver it quietly, 'cause some don't get much company. Become
Dangerous sights. garden rooster crows. She loves seagulls. She loves. She drinks coffee. She loves. She drinks tea. She loves the rooster crows. She loves. See that woman dressed in blue. Call on the man and hope he knows what he can do. See that woman dressed in red. Smile at the man and wake up in his bed.
Hey, sorry about the, here, you can turn us back up now. Sorry about the, dramatic volume increase when it switched to the second song. There's two separate volume controls for the two, pseudo-digital tape decks in this broadcast. Damn it. Sorry, everybody who's, now deaf. Okay, now I gotta turn off the volume in the monitor because it's...
In a Tiny Toons movie... The THX style, like movie intro for the movie within the movie was thud. It was like this just enormously loud thud that would come up on, and like sound effect, and then thud would come up on the screen. It said the audience is now deaf.
I heard that one of the things that they wanted to do on Monty Python's Flying Circus that the BBC wouldn't let them do. Was to just very gradually over the entire course of the show
just lower the
volume levels, and then until people were just turning up their volume on their TV as loud as it could go, just so that by the end of the show it had to be all the way up just so that they could hear them, and then make the loudest noise they could possibly make.
I mean,
people would hate them for that.
Like, it would.
That's like griefing.
Destroy, yeah, it would like actually damage people's televisions, which is.
It's kind of funny.
The British don't have any money. They can't afford a new TV if they blow out their TV.
You know, you know that in the U.S. people can get vouchers to get a new TV, right?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even kidding.
No, I mean, I had this discussion with my wife actually. Like, it is fairly important to farmers to have access to television.
Okay. What I'm talking about is with the transition from broadcast
to
analog. Mean just
that was specifically what I was talking about with her, too.
Do you mean just so they don't get, like, cabin fever and hatch out through the door?
No, because
like
they need sort of access to the farm reports, right? Like, the weather... Meteorology is a lot more important to them. And... Also, there, I don't know what it is that my grandpa watched, but it was like every day there was some like 15-minute thing that he watched to sort of like know what crops to grow.
Well, I was gonna say, like, on a day-to-day basis, I can't imagine how useful that is.
Yeah,
you know?
But I mean, it's
more than a newspaper or something.
I mean, yeah, but I don't know. Like, he would wake up and he would watch the Farm Bureau reports.
Today, like, corn is on fire. You're like, fuck! You have to run out.
You have to run out to your field and put it all out. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know, but I mean,
didn't he learn the trick where if you don't actually go to sleep on the first day of planting your crops, you can go and like go to the mine? I have no idea how this actually worked. Some sort of harvest moon trick or whatever.
Because there's no stamina on day one, whatever.
There's no what on day one.
There's no like you don't run out of stamina on the first day or something. So,
It's like that's like most relationships.
Let's see. Whoa.
Sorry.
This is your cable. Okay, good. All right. That's... Fred Levi says, and so, one day before Brawl's official release, the entire roster has been spoiled. Good. I hope everyone who was looking forward to fucking Super Smash Bros. Brawl is now so disappointed that they'll never be able to enjoy anything ever again.
Do people actually care about this?
Blizzbob says, "Hey, why'd you make the black plastic oyster egg white? Because we don't care for black things here at KOL.
What?
Except for every shirt I own.
Right.
I would go so far as to say every piece of clothing.
He's got those purple pants.
That's true.
Although I think you retired the purple pants.
I kind of have, yeah. I had to retire the purple pajamas because they looked like Castaway pants.
Or Incredible Hulk pants.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very tall, very, very skinny Incredible Hulk.
You wouldn't like him when he's angry?
Yeah. Bioshbach says, as somebody who used to listen to the radio shows but not play, personally I did it because they tend to be pretty funny. It's also a nice way to hear about any particularly large events that are coming up. If you don't have the time to play, then you can just listen to the shows as you drive to work or whatever. Yeah.
That's something that I kind of miss, is having some time like driving to or from school when I was in high school. Just sort of the ability to decompress or listen to something.
A commute gives you some time when you just sort of have no choice but to be alone.
Yeah,
which is interesting.
Unless
because
you've got some sort of retarded freshman that you're carpooling with. God,
is there a story there? Problem?
No, I just had a retarded. I had a retarded freshman that I carpooled to high school with for a year.
I see.
He was retarded.
Like actually retarded?
No.
He was in special ed classes.
I wish.
Because that would have been better.
Well, yeah, because it would have, you know,
it would have at least explained it. Yeah. You wouldn't have felt bad about gagging him and putting him in the trunk. Because the retards don't have any feelings.
Right.
That's that Nirvana song. It's okay to eat retards because they don't have any feelings.
Don't think I've heard that one.
Right, well, I mean, the thing is, it's weird. Like, in my adult life, am almost never, like, in a room by myself. I guess at the office, but that doesn't really count, right? Because it's like there's still people there that I'm interacting with.
I mean, what do you mean it doesn't really count?
Okay, fine.
I mean, I pretty much always have my cell phone with me, so I'm never alone.
Okay. Yeah, but I have found that since I moved further away from the office that I appreciate the commute. Hmm. You know, even if it's like 10 minutes.
I definitely need time alone to recharge my sort of psychic batteries or whatever, but
so you can start reading people's thoughts again.
Yeah. My psi meter too low.
Sprad says more Tony Bennett references, please. I'm not sure there are any Tony Bennett references.
I can't even keep track on what we do and do not reference at this point.
Okay, so putting feelers out here, is this or is this not funny? Staff of Ed convertible into a chef staff, the staff of Ed DeBevick. Okay, so, I mean this will say, how many people know what Ed DeBevick is, and is that funny or not? Like, that's I'm asking you, listening audience, is that funny or are you like, what the fuck? Are you talking about old man? I'm asking. Vaginal Bloodfart says, hey guys, do any of you have a favorite your mom joke? I have a show Saturday and I'm looking for a good one to use.
My favorite is, your mama's so ugly, every time she looks in the mirror, a single tear rolls down her cheek and she thinks, no one will ever love me.
Yeah.
Tom93 says, I just fought a giant sandworm as something to do while falling down drunk, and I gotta say, it has my favorite art in the game. I was pretty pleased with the way the sandworm turned out, actually. Because it's kind of like a noticeable but sort of funny and cute version of the Dune sandworms, which is exactly what I
want. It's because if he could, he'd make everything in the game just cute.
Yeah. ACM says, so were any of you guys affected by the flooding in Arizona, especially around Tucson? No. My mom lives in Tucson, but she was not impacted. And I don't know. I'm not there. My wife said that my yard was flooded, but my yard is flooded all the time.
Isn't it unusual for that to happen in a desert?
I mean, flash floods are common in a desert because the ground's not really designed to soak up water, right? So like,
when the rain does fall.
When it does rain, it's often like
it can rain.
The ground is like, what the fuck?
100 miles away, you can cause a flash flood in a desert. Because the rain will collect in, you know, mountains or hills or whatever, and then just roll completely down the plain and flood a basin.
I mean, because the riverbeds are not particularly deep, which, you know, that's kind of funny given that the single deepest riverbed on the entire planet is in Arizona. But
is the Grand Canyon the deepest?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I guess I always just sort of assumed that it was.
Because it was grand.
Well, I mean, it's just... Have you been to the Grand Canyon?
Yeah, a couple times. I've not been there since they added that just terrifying sounding walkway.
Christ, yeah. I kind of want to go just
to be terrified.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never. Did we went up on the roof of MIT? Yes. No.
We did not. No. Because the one time we were going to, it was like icy.
And we should go because it's been temperate-ish the past couple of days.
Yeah, it's been pretty nice.
See if we can still need to go to
the aquarium.
Oh God, yeah. There's also another thing that you can do on top of. Do you know the
Old Smoky, all covered with cheese? Building, I lost my poor meatball when somebody sneezed.
Building 66 is a 30-60-90 right triangle.
Ooh.
And on the acutest angle, you can get up on the roof and hang out on that edge and feel like you're flying. Because you're like six or seven stories off the ground, and you just can't see anything below you because the roof stops here.
I don't want that.
Weird.
Yeah, it's awesome though.
No, it's really cool. I don't want. No, do not want.
Well, on top of the little dome, which is where I would probably take you if we went anywhere.
Do you have to pick all kinds of locks to get there?
Not usually. No. Depends on which way you get up onto the roof. But you can get on top of the dome and lay back such that just at the very top of your field of vision is the skyline, and then the rest is just sky, which is kind of cool.
By the way, Hogulus has contributed his favorite mom joke, which is, your mom is so peaty. I'm going to get this.
Your mom is so peas?
Yeah. Your mom's so greedy, she won't pee.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
It would have been a little better if I hadn't fucked up the delivery the first time.
But I get it.
Because she's greedy.
She holds on to everything.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I think I've told the story on the radio before, but I took this Shakespeare class at a community college in Prescott, and I was in the class with, it was like a bunch of old people who were taking the classes, like retirement enrichment program that they had at the community college, and this one guy that I went to high school with, and a couple other young people, and the instructor was talking about how it was something in like A Midsummer Night's Dream, where the instructor was talking about how it was fairly common in old stories, you know, for like mortals to be like impregnated by gods,
yeah,
right, you know, and Dan, this kid who was in the class, was like, yeah, didn't Zeus? Aren't there just like hundreds of stories about Zeus, you know, seducing mortal women? Like, didn't he once disguise himself as a golden shower to get with him? And
that's
like
so
four of us in the class just are like, and all of the old people are just like, huh, what?
That's
and the instructor was like, shower of gold, but yes. Because he did. He disguised himself as a shower of gold. And apparently some woman in this myth was all like, I want that inside my vagina. That gold.
Golden shower.
Yeah. And then that guy died, as it turns out. But that's not as funny a story.
I guess the...
He was, yeah. He was like the first person I ever knew that like died. It was weird. Like, you know, like, hey, no more Dan.
Huh. Well, that was depressing.
Yeah, no. He was like 19 when he died too. It was crazy.
That's doubly depressing.
Yeah. No.
When I was shopping once for one of the various houses I lived in, I was shopping with my friend Abby, and we were going to buy some paper towels, and we lived at, this was back when I lived at Sparkle Motion, so I wanted to buy the Sparkle brand paper towels. And I was like, oh, but I probably shouldn't buy them because, man, they tear really easily. And Abby turns to me and she says, so does your mom. That was probably the...
that was pretty funny.
Funniest mom joke that I had heard at the time.
You said, there was something today where you said something about this box is terrible. And I was like, so is your mom's.
Yeah.
I don't remember how that.
Yeah, I don't remember either. It's become so common that... Kind of just phase it out.
Yeah, it is. It's just sort of, you sort of, yeah. Hogulus says, Nerf, the super sneaky gnome in the Nomad camp, makes you stronger. Shouldn't he make you weaker? Because, you know, Nerf. Shop Troll says, thank you for allowing us to get rid of the Degrassi Knoll shopping list. Well, you're welcome.
There used to be a way to delete any item if you wanted to. I forget how it worked. It was like a remote form submission thing.
Why did you delete any item? You wanted to.
Yeah.
Saucy Dragon says, why, oh heavens, why, is the comma inside the parentheses on the item use text for the Nobgoblin Firecracker? It makes me weep. That's where it belongs.
Oh my god.
That's where it belongs.
This is just gonna...
No,
this is gonna destroy us as a company. Because we all have, like...
Each of us has one fucked up quirk where we just refuse to obey the rules. We all also have, like, things that we do by accident. Like,
Scully has a couple, though. Like, he actually is on a crusade to change the way people use quotations, I think.
I mean, I refuse to do... Like, he uses the right way of quoting multiple paragraphs.
You won't do that.
You just don't.
I fucking refuse. I'm sorry. I can't.
The thing is, it has two lexical meanings. That's the problem, right?
Because that means that person has stopped talking.
Yeah, you have two. If you're not identifying the speaker between each paragraph and you end the quotation and start a new one, it is the other. It's the interlocutor who's speaking. That's what it means. Interlocutor. Wasn't that one of the Borg? Interlocutor.
Interlocutus. Valhalla Soldier says, is selling the leadership of a clan considered a scam, or is it legitimate?
Boy, clans don't cost anything to create, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, why wouldn't you just start your own clan and whitelist everyone in the clan that you were going to assume leadership of? I mean, I guess, you know, you'd get control of the stash, right?
Yeah.
The furniture, yeah, but... Bobbidden says, could you please make the mall search remove extra white space at the end of a search? Many of the item descriptions have these at the end. Maybe only do it if no results show up. I don't...
White space at the end?
But many of the item descriptions have these at the end.
Why would it need to remove extra white space at the end of a search anyway? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it does, is the thing. I mean, the search results just get trimmed, so
yeah.
it does trim spaces off.
So what's
beginning
the problem?
And end. No, I don't know. If there is something going on there, Bobbidden, send a bug report with more details. We don't
Examples.
Have enough data. We just don't have enough data.
More dats.
St. Doodle says, if and when Bad Moon tattoos are added, will they be retroactively awarded? They would be, yeah. Bobbidden also says, item descriptions don't work in Safari 3. You use if document all, which was implemented in Internet Explorer 4. Safari recently dropped support for it. Search Google for more info. That's something we'll have to talk to Xenophobe about.
I'm using Safari 3.
Do the things resize themselves automatically?
I don't know, because I have everything pop up in a new window.
Like in a new tab?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, it's entirely... That code, it is alarmingly difficult
to
cross-browsers figure out the fucking height of the content in a window. Which, what the fuck? That seems like the simplest thing.
It shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, you're right.
No, I have a little JavaScript thing that gives you the height and stuff. I mean, unless that stopped working.
The problem is, like, some browsers, when you say, I want a new window that's 500 pixels tall, gives you a new browser where the viewable area is 500 pixels tall.
Right.
And some of it, it's like, oh, okay, we're going to give you a browser that's 500 pixels tall, and if you have the Google toolbar installed, that is now not big enough.
External window?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And
that,
so...
That's just... Why do...
Right,
that's
right, right,
that's
right. Why does any browser have that behavior?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, if you were trying to line up two windows, right, then you would want that behavior, right? Like, you'd...
Well, you'd set... then you would want to set the relative positions of the leftmost corner, left top leftmost corner of the browser. You wouldn't want to create
sure.
a new...
Sure, sure.
You know.
No, yeah. This is why I hired Xeno.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to think about any of this bullshit ever again. I just want to make video games, man. Let's see. Buhushan 305 says that iTunes is far better on a Mac. Yeah, everybody says that. And you know what? I believe them.
But then again, Macs are only good for dropping.
What?
Macs are only good for dropping. Isn't that what you use your Macs for?
Oh, right, right. They're dropping. Okay. I thought there was a joke. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay.
No.
Beats are only good for dropping. No. That thing was a piece of shit before I dropped it.
Yeah, you got a lemon, and it's, you know, it sucks. But that happens every now and then, and you shouldn't let it inform your whole opinion.
I might eventually buy another Mac.
This Vio
has been
a workhorse.
Yeah, just fucking great. The old Vio was great until somebody fucking stole it.
Yeah, what the fuck is up with that?
Either that or it just vanished. That really pisses me off.
My computer's been actually kind of weird lately.
Is it?
Well, your like today. Yeah, like today I was in the middle of editing an Excel spreadsheet and thing just logged me out. I was in the, like, all the things I had open and unsaved, just gone. I was just back at the login screen.
Huh.
And I was like, what the fuck? And this happens. This kind of thing happens like once every month now, and like so it's so intermittent. There's no way I can possibly, you know, take it in or whatever, but diagnose it. Frustrating. And yeah. I'm not angry, really, that I have to use my old computer to open animated GIFs.
That's really awesome. That was really awesome behavior.
Yeah. Photoshop's sucking so bad.
Christ.
I hate companies that specifically cripple their software so that you're required to buy
the thing is
$300 new software.
They did. I mean, okay, theoretically, the PC version of that version of Photoshop on a PC, you can open an animated GIF as a movie file, right?
I'm not sure that. I think it might actually convert it to like a movie format. I think it actually imports it differently.
Huh.
So I don't think you. I think you actually lose quality.
Huh.
It is just retarded that a program that can manipulate and save animated GIFs cannot open them. I mean, that is retarded.
Yeah. Yeah.
You save a file, you should be able to open it with that same program.
Yeah, that is really kind of bullshit.
Fuck?
I mean, the thing is, I would not think that it was as bullshit as I think it is if the knowledge base article from Adobe did not say the solution to this problem is to buy one of our other products and use it in the meantime as a bridge between these two. That's
fucking
nonsense. Like, but you know what are you gonna do? They're Photoshop, man. They can do whatever evil empire bullshit they want to do.
Yeah, I mean,
everybody is so entrenched.
A couple more things like this, and I will seriously just see if I can use GIMP, because if GIMP does everything I need to do. You know, it's free.
Oh, don't be that dick.
Oh.
PaintShop Pro, man.
PaintShop Pro?
PaintShop Pro. It's beautiful. I was just using it today. Terrible says, thanks a lot, Jake. I play Puzzle Pirates, but now when I go to talk about it, I end up saying Fuzzle Pirates because of all the because of hearing you say Fuzzle Faggot Ridge on the radio all the time.
Puzzle
Faggot?
You're
Paget.
Welcome.
Puzzle Faggot? Yeah. I don't know. That... We could make a like parody game that was Fuzzle Pirates.
Sporefrog says, Mallbots. One accidental enter, item instantly gone. Should they be disabled? Should people be able to have a confirmation box on the mall? Maybe if the item is low enough percentage below mall? I don't ever want game behavior to be based on the price of something in the mall.
Yeah.
So that is a...
The solution to this is
ideas.
Now you have learned to double check before you click things.
I mean, it does suck.
You put things into the mall without specifying a price. They go in at maximum price. Then you go to manage prices for all items, and you can be very careful about the price that you set.
You can type commas in there.
You can type commas in.
Type commas in there.
You know, mistakes do happen, but it's. From that screen, it's very easy to quickly get back to that thing and change the price really quickly before something picks it up. You know?
But apparently, you really can't. I mean,
so there are mall bots scanning
that
the mall
get it
every
second.
Every second.
I mean, for something like a Mr. Accessory or whatever, like.
Huh. Well, I'm glad that they're hitting our database so hard.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Anti-Mallbot? Did Maximine stop playing
still
entirely?
Around, I think. I'm not positive that that's true. Somebody said something about Anti-Mallbot in a question.
Yeah, the answer, of course, is to build better bots.
Yep, anti-malbot is not on right now.
Isn't buying out an underpriced auction against the robot laws? to buy action or inaction to cause harm to a human being?
No, anti-malbot logged on today, but is not logged on right now.
Huh. Maybe it hasn't logged on. Maybe it got logged off by rollover and did not.
No, it logged on January 1st at 23:38.
January 1st?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Not February 1st?
Oh. Never mind. Andy Malbot logged on a month ago.
Okay.
I'm retarded. Hey, everybody. Sabun says, you know, this is totally sucking up, but Jick has a place among the humans I'm willing to worship, alongside the likes of Rembrandt and the writers of House.
Wow. Huh.
Have we talked about House much on the radio? Because that's an interesting discussion.
We haven't.
Just the whole, like, analog, it being a modern version of Sherlock Holmes and stuff.
Mm, no.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. And Wilson and Watson.
Yeah.
Sora was telling me that there's apparently something that happens at the, and it's like Zomg spoiler, but something happens at the end of season 3 which dramatically changes the format of the show.
What?
Moving forward. Yeah. Which I'm like, okay. I mean, because, you know, we had sort of had the discussion where every episode is exactly the same.
And still entertaining.
And we don't care. Yeah. Like, this is good. I've got to get a fucking DVD player in my bedroom when I get... That is, like, the first thing I'm doing when I get home.
I don't understand why you would have lived this long without that.
We had it. We moved to the new house, right? And then I'm like, okay, I've got a bigger living room. It's, you know, I can actually permanently install, like, a good home theater system, right? But I just haven't wanted to spend the money on it. So I took the big screen TV and took it upstairs to the bedroom, right? And just have been using the little TV downstairs because we only ever, like, watch The Daily Show on it while we eat lunch or whatever. We never, like, hang out.
It's a little strange for you to have a 3-inch screen in your living room.
It's weird. It is weird.
Everybody's getting really close.
The fucking big screen TV just stopped working.
Oh.
I mean, it was like a $900 5-year-old TV. It's not, I don't know what to do with it. It's just sitting in the...
It's a giant paperweight.
It's just sitting in the bedroom. Yeah, it's a very effective paperweight in case we needed to hold down, you know, an entire, you know, run of a newspaper. Like, the one...
In a tornado.
Yeah. So now that thing broke, so I've started using the sign from Comic-Con as our TV.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's funny.
Which, somebody pointed out when I was like on the... It was Riff. It was on a radio show. I was like, yeah, my TV broke. And Riff was like, isn't there a widescreen TV in the garage right now? I'm like, oh, right. I'm totally abusing write-offs. I haven't bothered putting a... The thing is, adding a DVD player to the mix makes it go from one remote control to 3 remote controls.
Yeah, that's retarded.
And it is. It is.
You could get a universal remote. There are a couple that are not, like, just painful to use.
Yeah. I mean, the cable company has a universal remote, but that TV, that fucking TV, there's always
the off-brand.
It's not even really off-brand. It's like the TVs that Target manufactures,
brand.
Right?
That's
it's like
off-brand brand
TVs. But all of those devices specifically just will not work with any universal remote control.
Well, I wouldn't say any. There are
any that anybody knows about.
There are remote controls that configure themselves.
They can learn.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Alright. Yeah, I don't fucking know. Anyway, I need to get a goddamn DVD player because I need to keep watching Buffy when I get home. And in fact, I need to order that so that I'll have that waiting for me when I get home. And my wife is just going to be so frustrated at having to watch Buffy.
She'll learn to like it.
I don't know if that's true.
She'll learn to hate
it. You didn't hear her. Yeah, you didn't hear her talking for 20 minutes about all the reasons that she didn't like it. I'm getting into it though.
If she's willing to not go into it with just full of hate and give it a chance, I think it is possible that she could.
I mean, I watched that Halloween episode and I'm like, whoa, dude, why did that guy call Giles Ripper? What dark secrets are in Giles's past? You know, and I probably never find out.
What?
Maybe I find out later. I don't know. Now I'm all like, dude, what's going on? What's going on with Giles? And, you know, Giles should have been played by Hugh Grant. Really, every male in anything ever should have been played by Hugh Grant. Imagine 12 Monkeys, but with Hugh Grant instead of Bruce Willis.
Whoa.
Wait, would he? Would Hugh Grant be playing every role?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so he would have been
that's
both.
That's interesting.
He would have been both, you know, both Bruce Willis and Brad Pitt. Yeah. Huh. And the, you know, the doctors.
And the monkeys.
Yeah, that's true. See? 12 yeah, Hugh Grants. See? 12 Hugh Grants.
And 12 Angry Men could have also been 12 Hugh Grants.
Being John Malkovich with Hugh Grant playing every male role. Yeah, no, it's like,
huh.
Grant.
What about if, I mean, why to stop at all the male roles, really?
Okay, you're right.
Let's bring back Elizabethan theater. Come on. What do you think of Shakespeare in Love?
I have not seen it.
What? Oh my god. Where have you been for the past decade? Judi Dench, man. She kicks ass.
A lot of people talking about the enchantments being missing from the shit. Renzi says a dampened curve? Renzi says E to a power where a constant is under X. Yeah. I mean, that is the formula that that Excel came up with. It was like a goofy constant times E to a goofy constant.
Right.
Which is presumably irrational because it was trying to match the curve, or at least it was close enough to irrational that it didn't want to display it. Jick Forever says 100 times 1 minus 0.9 to the x. Ugh. Yeah. Zortag says, so the new item of the month can be a combat item. Have you done something about the Naughty Sorceress and the Boner Dagon so that you cannot lose it using it against one of them? Yes, indeed.
Boner Dagonable. Boner Dagon. Boner Dagon.
I did. I put that comment in there that said, remember to make this un-Boner Dagonable. Boner Dagonable. Putinesca says, long and annoying quest to unlock BM forever. Yes, please!
I asked Jick today if he'd drawn a bunch of wavy lines, and he said, yes, I have. And I was like, this is weird that this is a conversation at work.
Yeah.
we're actually getting work done. You know,
yeah, by having drawn a bunch of wavy lines at different angles. Yeah. Let's see. Punicron says, in the Temporal Rift, we see the sorceress as a young girl in Fernsworthy's hut. In the time between then and the present, Fernsworthy's tower was built and fell into ruin. Is the sorceress really old, or was the tower just built out of substandard materials? Did someone fly an intergalactic rowboat into it? Yeah, there were actually two of them. And, interestingly enough...
Oh, God.
No.
It's too soon.
you'll find out. No way, man. I want a cake that is too giant. A replica of the Twin Towers birthday cake.
Like a souffle.
No, like a cake, like a birthday cake, like a tall cake.
Uh-huh.
And then the pie server that you use to cut the cake are shaped like airplanes. I'm just saying.
Man.
Ah, man.
No, but if you made it a souffle, then when everybody sang, you know, happy birthday and clapped, the whole thing could
okay.
You see, that's where I was going with that.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know enough about souffle because I'm into chicks.
Dude, if you want to score a chick, you bake her a souffle.
No. No, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, if you wanna score a back rub buddy, you can bake her a souffle.
Wow, you don't know anything about women.
Okay. I hear chicks dig plants. Candles.
Plants,
you gotta have some
candles.
You gotta have some plants and candles at your apartment if you're ever gonna get laid. Let's see. Glebe says, if you do implement that pizza oven combining idea, there should be a trophy for cooking the dreidel via remote form submission. Wait, why?
I'm not sure. If there's... I mean, was that some sort of Holocaust joke? Because too soon, man.
Wow, I wonder if it was. That's fucked up. I wouldn't have read that out loud if I had known that it was a Holocaust.
I don't. I mean, maybe it wasn't. Maybe there's some joke that we're just not getting.
Maybe you're just leaping to the conclusion of a Holocaust joke.
Well, it was an oven and a Jewish
anti-Semite.
It was an oven and a Jewish referential item. I, you know, what else am I going to jump to?
Dreidel's not Jewish. Okay, fine.
The game I've been playing has bored me.
So yeah, well,
now
I was,
I'm paying more
it was
attention.
Boring me watching you play.
Yeah.
I was getting
bored just listening to the music. Monster's Den runs out of steam. Runs out
pretty,
of cool
pretty quick. Pretty quickly. Yeah.
If every level had been different types of monsters, it would have been interesting.
They were.
No.
Yeah.
They repeat.
Sets. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's interesting that I was playing this one party that was all like hunters or whatever, all archers. And the stuff that they say, the random like sort of commentary generator as you go down to the next level really gets strained if your entire party is all the same class, because it's like every single time you see all of the same stuff. Like,
that's funny. So,
I'm tracking him, says Jug. Jug is the name of my own. What the fuck is the matter with me? Spaghetti pizza and a guy named Jug. Judd? They're all named Mitch. Meet Mitch. If you ever want to see anything really sick, you should look up Meet Mitch on Google, because there's this very you know, it's very much a spiritual precursor to Two Girls One Cup.
Really?
Yeah. It's just one dude, no cup.
Well, did you ever follow the
Yellow Brick Road?
No. It was the Stinky Meat.
I did, yeah. That site was pretty good, as I recall. There was a lot of interesting things.
Well, because he did Stinky Meat, and then
that was on the Spark, wasn't it?
Well, it's the Spark, I think, picked it up.
I see.
I think Stinky, it was StinkyMeat.com for a while, and then the Spark picked it up. The Spark actually, was based in Boston. Because the guy, do you remember the one thing where he like tried to set up a boyfriend for his sister? Remember that?
Yeah.
Thing. So, my friend's sister shared an apartment with that girl and was there when the like he came in like the armor thing. Like she was like present when that thing happened. So that happened in Boston. So I think the Spark was in Boston. I think it might have been a Harvard student that started it or something.
Yeah. I'm all about those guys. There was a lot of funny stuff in there.
What's interesting is like you know what. What happens to those guys? Where did they go? Because there's...
I mean, they're doing Spark Notes now, so I mean, I feel like they're probably just, you know, making a lot of money off of that thing, right? Because those seem like a very... I actually used Spark Notes a couple times when I was...
Is that like Cliff Notes?
...going to college. Yeah, but it's better.
Huh.
It's better. It's like, it's... It was, I mostly used it because I didn't really want to do the reading in my philosophy of law class.
Really?
Yeah.
Philosophy of law is actually kind of interesting, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, reading...
Philosophy in general?
Yeah, reading philosophy in general is not important. I mean, understanding... having somebody who understands it make
explain
it concise.
Sure.
You can get...
You save yourself.
Yeah, you can get all
writing.
Of the same stuff out of it. You just don't have to... You don't have to parse a lot of archaic language. I'm not saying that there's not some value in it, but I'm saying that to understand it well enough to be able to discuss it in class and write papers about it or whatever. Like,
I mean, there are times where the original, I mean, I say the original words, but a lot of them are in translation. Like, there are times when having access to the original words is useful or meaningful or provides some additional insight, but I can see what you're saying.
I mean, there were a lot of things in my philosophy courses that I did ride, but
Read.
What am I? I must have saw. Oh, Christ.
You're done.
I'm not even drunk.
I know.
What's the matter with me?
You're tongue-tied.
What's Apple Person says, so why does Hot Stuff move down to AZ? Is he too much of a wuss? I mean, doesn't not does. Aw, crap. Isn't doesn't not does that band that did Walk the Dinosaur?
Yeah,
and,
yeah. And, Hi, Dad, I'm in jail. It's a great song.
Moving isn't a question of being a wuss or not. right?
So what? 100 times 1 minus 0.9 to the n. Okay. Mr. Smoothie says the HD voucher is for a converter box, not a new television. So.
Fine.
Glebe says, what the fuck are you talking about, old man? In response to the staff of Ed DeBevin.
Is it really for a converter box? But it's like the whole cost of the converter box. It's like $25 voucher for a $40 item or something, or $25 item or something. The government is subsidizing TV. How fucked up is that?
Yeah.
It's not just for farmers, dude. It's for, like, everybody.
Oh, I see. Okay, Miser Wrangler says, by the way, when you changed the jewelry crafting recipes, you specifically stated that the items would become other items when NS13 hit and warned collectors that the bracelets could become anything. It sounded at the time like you already had plans for them. It doesn't really matter that they haven't changed, but whoever wrote to you Monday was correct. Right, I forgot about that. We
took things out of circulation, or not out of circulation, but out of use, utility.
Yeah, what...
You removed one item from each of the...
Right, it was the bracelets. There was something else that we did, though. There was something we did at some point with a bunch of chrome and linoleum and asbestos
parts. The hilts and stuff. I think those are gone. I think those don't...
The chrome meat stacks.
Those are the meat stacks?
I believe so.
I think it might be. I think Hot Stuff is right. I think it's the hilts and stuff. I think we changed those to use the second-tier hilts from...
I think we deprecated old...
Yeah, we deprecated a lot of the interstitial
but, you know,
ingredients.
We didn't...
Yeah.
We reserved the right at any time to change those.
Yeah.
You know? Right now, they're this weird class of rare item. Quasi-rare. Semi-rare.
Miser Wrangler says, the staff of Ed DeBevick is mildly amusing. It would be nice to throw in something a little bit obscure.
Because we don't have any obscure references in the
game. I'm not sure that makes sense, though, because... That's not that Ed. It's named after the one Ed, and then to change it to something named after
being converted into
Ed,
a totally different staff.
That I'm not. Yeah, I don't know.
So I mean, what would you suggest if the staff of Ed did become a chef?
I don't have anything better. Yeah.
Staff of Ed, which is now a chef staff.
Chef staff,
which
of
were
Ed.
It not for its Ed-based origins, would be called the staff of
Ed DeBevick.
Poultry and rice. Shaggy Shag says, how would you make the clown skin harness cute? The clown skin harness is awesome. Oh, boy. Just clown skin. Whoever. I think that was a radio suggestion from a long time ago.
Oh, okay. At first I heard it was you, and I was like, okay.
Clown skin. Oh, boy. That's just. Oh, boy.
I mean, there is something kind of... There's a sadistic joy in World of Warcraft when you find a humanoid that you can skin. Jick thinks he skinned a Tauren the other day. I'm not sure that that's
true.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that I did either. I think that there was probably a... I think you're probably right that there was a dog inside the Tauren's corpse.
Which is kind of
weird.
Where it's
too dark
to
read.
Did you have to cut the Tauren open to get to the dog? That's kind of like skinning.
What's that where it's too dark to read from?
From Groucho Marx. Outside of a dog, a book is man's best friend.
Right.
Inside of a
dog,
it's
too
dark
to
read.
Yeah. I have a feeling that I would have probably liked Groucho Marx a lot if I had hung out with him.
You guys could have smoked cigars together.
Yeah, I have a feeling I'm going to smoke a cigar after this show.
Do you have that feeling?
I do have that feeling. When I get this feeling, nothing satisfies it except, you know, actually smoking a cigar. Saiboon says, about the mama joke with the P, it means she won't let go of anything golden. Let's see.
Yeah, I would have assumed it just meant she won't let go of anything at all.
Tomato Bob says, yo mama's so gay that you ain't even been born because she's a lesbian. But it could be like the Bukkake lesbian encounter from the and that's the story of how you were born from Sexy Losers.
What?
Did you ever read Sexy Losers?
It sounds familiar. I've read a little bit. I don't remember that.
I think I missed that one.
I read all of it. No, there are a lot. There's this sort of like recurring thing in Sexy Losers where one of this woman is like, there'll just be some like just grotesque, depraved sex that somehow ends up with some semen going into a vagina, and then it's this mom telling her, like, you know,
I see,
young adult son, that's the story of how he was born, you know.
Oh my god.
So it's like one of them was like sort of blinding bukkake, and then her crawling around on her hands and knees and ending up face first in some other girl's vagina on the porn set, and that's the story of how you were born.
Blinding. Wow.
I think that Xenophobe discovered KOL via Sexy Losers.
Really?
I'm pretty sure that's how it was, like a link in that forum or something. That's how he found KOL. Akara says, the mall problem is that if you search for, say, cocoa egg with no quotations, you'll get no results. But if you remove the space at the end, it works. The cocoa egg space?
Let's find out.
Why would you search for cocoa egg space?
Shaggy Shag says...
Didn't we get rid of this possibility? I thought we did.
What is it?
The current leaderboard on the front page is
for custom items.
Is the fuzzy bracelets collection.
I don't actually think that there's a... I mean, that's kind of neat. You know,
I search for cocoa egg, and I get all the cocoa eggshell fragments.
Cocoa egg space, though?
Why would I search for cocoa egg space?
Well, I don't know, but it should strip it if it's there. I mean, that... Shaggy Shag says, so does your Hugh that's Grant true. And every male role idea work with Brokeback Mountain? I don't know.
That is really weird. Why does that have any impact on the search?
Maybe I'm not actually.
What are you talking about?
If you search for cocoa egg space, nothing shows up. Look, right there. Oh. Done.
Okay. Istanbul says, could you upload the show once you're done? Failing that, could you sum up which questions of mine you've answered? as much as I'd like to do that. I answered several of your questions, Istanbul, I think. Maybe just one. I remember doing at least one. Gleeb says, there's a quick fix for that Safari 3 thing. Safari 3 thing. Go to mozilla.com for details. Film at 11.
Your mom...
So we have like 10...
Mozilla.
We have 10 minutes. Actually, we might have more than that because nobody's checked in yet. I don't know who's supposed to be on after us. So, what do you guys want to talk about?
I got nothing.
Oh, wow. You know? Yeah, it turns out when you make dreidels out of clay, you cook them in an oven. Hot stuff. It was not a Holocaust joke at all. In fact, it was just you making a Holocaust joke.
You cook clay in kilns, not in ovens.
Isn't a kiln an oven?
No. How many pies have you made from kilns?
do we need to draw a Venn diagram here? It's like, here's ovens, here's kilns.
What is your problem?
I don't have a problem.
What is your problem?
I just like using Venn diagrams at every opportunity.
A kiln is a furnace for burning, baking, or drying something.
The sun is a massive incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace.
Okay, any of various ovens. Fine. Fine. Actually, it's a town... Mississippi. You know, the M states are the ones that are the most confusing. Ow, fuck. Because M Mississippi, is it MI? Is it MS? Missouri? MI? MS?
Are there as many A states as there are M states?
No, I think there's more M states. I think. And all the A states are pretty obvious. I guess Alabama and Alaska are kind of confusing, but Arizona, you know. Yeah. Oh, I guess Arizona, Arkansas. You have to kind of.
Yeah, because Arizona's AZ and Arkansas's AR, right?
Yeah, Alaska's AK.
Alaska's AK.
I grabbed my AK.
Yeah. Today I didn't even have to use mine because today was a good day.
That's true.
I did, however, mess around and get a triple-double. It happens sometimes, man.
Why is that dolphin swimming game so popular on Kongregate?
It's fun.
It's okay.
It's fun.
It's okay.
I mean, I had a good, like, hour's worth of fun with that game. The game is Dolphin Olympics 2, in case you're wondering. I mean, did you ever get into Tony Hawk?
No.
Because, I mean, that game is very much Tony Hawk.
I never thought Tony Hawk was very interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
You must have just not gotten very good at it then.
Probably, yeah. No,
It had a very difficult learning curve. Like, I that is one of the only games that I, like, did not like at all. But I was like, you know, I have a feeling that this is going to get better if I stick with it. And I, you know, actually got pretty good at it. And
Lecker's a big old Tony Hawk fan.
Very much worth it.
Interesting.
Like,
it's weird that, like, and maybe it doesn't correspond at all, but, like, Grand Theft Auto, you know, there's a lot of, like, car tricks that you can do in there, and, you know, I felt like that was pretty fun, but it didn't have a steep learning curve at all.
Well, you didn't really have any control over the tricks. You just launched off a ramp and saw what happened.
You kind of had... You had some control over, like, how you hit things, and... Well, you could get yourself spinning in certain ways and
you'd,
stuff.
Yeah, you'd attempt to hit it at just such an angle that you'd shoot off the ramp in such a way to clip the tree so that you'd spin more. But
yeah.
But you didn't have, like, direct control the way you do in Tony Hawk.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's an art there to were, playing Tony Hawk.
There know? Were a lot like of, a, like, sportsy type games, like the Olympic games. Do you know what I'm talking about? The,
like, track and field?
Electronic
games.
Arts or something? No, this was the PC before. I don't know if before console, but, like, concurrent with, like, the original Nintendo.
I remember kind of. California Games. That
California
was
Games.
California Games is the only one that I ever really, like... Like, I remember... Sort of, like, the hacky sack in California Games was very much a spiritual predecessor of Tony Hawk.
Huh.
Right? Because it's all about just long-ass, uninterrupted combo strings, right?
Yeah.
Like, which that was really... That's the first thing I can ever remember. The hacky sack in California Games was the first thing that I can ever remember... working like that. Like, huh. That you score points by building up larger and larger combos.
By fuck-facing the sick pipe?
Yeah, you totally fuck-face the sick pipe. That was, you know, that was me and Disco Banjo got Tony Hawk 3 and just took turns playing it until, like, we both got good at it. It was a good experience.
That's not an argument.
What?
Just that you enjoyed playing it makes it a good game? What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I still don't have a check-in.
Huh.
We may be on the radio forever.
Forever?
Yeah.
Luckily, we have an infinite amount of music at our disposal.
We have an infinite amount of interesting things to talk about, too.
Especially if it's music that's been playing for an infinite amount of time. Which order of infinity is that?
Right.
Mm. I don't believe in that.
What? You don't believe in goodness?
I have a fucking Madonna song.
That are
what is the matter with
me?
I have a Madonna song stuck in my head.
Which one?
Beautiful Stranger.
Hey, Mr. DJ.
It's on that album with Hey, Mr. DJ.
Music?
I had this kind of dumb girlfriend at one point that...
Don't name her, man. You're just gonna...
I doubt if she understands how to use a computer well enough to ever listen to this. Sorry.
You're going to hell.
Anyway, let's say that there was a part of my life where I was exposed to a lot of that Madonna album.
Uh-huh.
There's one part of that song that is cool, and that part gets stuck in my head. And, I don't know.
I kind of like that album, actually.
That's because you like grinding with dudes.
What?
Well, you do.
No.
Grinding the rails.
But you like
fuck-facing
the sick pipe. Yeah.
That's so fun to say.
It really is. Jamin's a funny dude.
Yeah, yes he is.
He's got his moments, but you know, his desire to punch everybody in the balls.
Yeah, his desire to punch everybody in the balls is something that periodically causes some distress to whoever's balls just got punched. But you know, the exclamation of nut punching before he does it is like, it just kind of makes it worth it, you know. He's mellowing out in his old age, though.
Is he still attached?
He gets all... Yeah. Oh, wow. I think she moved in with him. I know, man.
Into his shithole?
No, like, that's the thing. He has to clean that up.
That's fast.
When I moved out, it really got bad. Like, he was like, tore up all the carpet and just...
I don't know
if he tore up the carpet. He got from somebody just rolls and rolls and rolls of carpet and just piled them all up in the kitchen, and they just stayed there for years. Just these rolls of carpet taking up the entire...
Weird.
It was like this weird long... It was this one giant room that was like kitchen, dining room, living room, right? With like a sort of bar sticking out in the middle of it. And the long-ass kitchen dining room part is where this carpet was. So my keg fridge is still in there.
Huh.
And it's probably...
Which is weird because you now have two keg fridges.
Yeah, I do. I own two keg fridges. What the fuck? I don't use either of them. The keg fridge that is at Jamin's house still has a keg in it from like 5 years ago.
Damn.
I'm guessing
you're not going to get your deposit back.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that there is some seriously nasty shit inside that keg at this point.
Well, does air get into the kegs? Can stuff grow in there easily? You know, like...
You should cut it up and make armor.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know. I'm never using that. And what sucks is that I spent so much money moving that keg fridge from the house where I built it to Jamin's house. And then when I moved, I just didn't, like...
Just didn't care.
I just didn't care, yeah. And
what you should do is get it back and incorporate it into the MAME cabinet you're going to make so that you can have... this arcade cabinet
with draft beer
with the tap on the side, yeah.
Or just a tube directly into your mouth.
Yeah.
Right. The thing is, I didn't really...
Industrial strength beer hat.
Okay, when I built the keg fridge, I built it when I was living with my old roommate Steve, who is the guy who, between us, we drank a lot of fucking beer. Like, you know, we would just drink 8 or 10 glasses of beer a day each. You know, just all the time. Like, so it made sense to have a keg fridge. It wasn't just always nothing but foam. Jamin didn't drink beer. Jamin was like a whiskey guy.
I see.
And so if there's only one person drinking beer, it does not make any sense to have draft beer at your house because it sits for... If a keg sits for an hour, it's going to pour a bunch of foam. Like, that just happens.
I mean, we get a keg every now and then here, and it lasts for a couple weeks, and it's nice. It's not. It doesn't. You don't have to have beer every day. You're just gonna have to pour out a glass of foam every time you
every
start
time
it up.
Every time you pour a beer, you have to pour out
every
some foam.
Every night. Basically, it's every night. You like the first person that gets a beer out of that has to.
I also was sort of not very good at setting that up, but I don't. You know, I don't know if the keg fridge at my new house has the equipment in it or not. Does it have tanks in it?
I didn't look. I haven't checked.
It's full of, like, fucking
Budweiser.
God, what? Pez Boy bought cases of fucking Bud Light for the party at my house during con. And what? Like, and he had told me, he was like, yeah, I'm assuming that you were angry when you found all those cases of Bud Light in your fridge. I'm like, what are you talking about? I didn't ever find any. Like, oh, I put them in the keg fridge, which I've just never opened. Right? And I open it, and it's like, ah! What? No! you No! Ah!
I thought he was a beer snob like you guys.
He was buying it for a party.
He was trying to maximize.
Yeah, and he had like a pile of money that other people had handed him, and I'm pretty sure that the only place that was open to get beer was like Circle K. At the time, yeah. No, I mean, yeah. Pez Boy is not a guy who doesn't come through on the beer tip. It happened that.
Yeah.
God. He was with me the one time we had to go to fucking Walmart to buy booze.
And you're, like, open about this. That's, you know...
I know. I didn't tell anybody for the longest time. But, I mean, you
that
know
what?
That
was the KOLCon 3
yeah,
party.
Yeah, the KOLCon 3, the costume party.
That
we
was
ran,
an intense party.
We ran out of booze. We went through
nuts.
$2,500 worth of hard liquor at that party.
And
single
not a
party.
Single person over 18.
Yeah. No. They were carving at the bottom.
I know. No, it was. You know. That was. I mean, I only got to see like an hour of the party, but it was a lot of fun.
And that hour was very blurry.
No, but no, yeah. it was you know, it was blurry after that.
Ran out of booze and yeah. So we had to go to.
That was the only place open that had Walmart. Yeah. Liquor.
Yeah.
Weird.
Because we didn't have time to drive into Tempe to get to any of the places that we knew about.
Right.
Like, yeah. So we had to go to Walmart. We had to go to Walmart.
Wow. To avoid a party foul.
And we had to go to that Walmart a couple days earlier because it was 2 a.m. and there was fucking no internet at the house unless we got a router. So we had to buy a fucking... What is wrong with me?
You've sacrificed your morals to support this game.
I know.
Man.
I had to keep people drunk. Otherwise they would look around and realize that there was no reason for them to be hanging out with me. That's what I have to do to maintain my entourage. I just have to keep everybody drunk all the time. I'm gonna let you guys listen to Fusilla Band for a while.
Taking over for us?
Yeah, he is. And once I saw that he was next on the schedule, I was no longer worried about the check because I don't bother checking in with him until like 30 seconds before it's supposed to start. So I, you know, yeah. we're past those protocols, man. We don't have to obey the rules, man.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll. I don't know who's doing the show on Monday. I might do it with Scully, or I might. I might be with these kids again, but we
and
will,
there might not be a show on Thursday.
Yeah,
next.
Shit, Thursday I'm flying.
Oh, you know, you could call it in from the airphone, because that would not be expensive.
No, it wouldn't at all. Maybe what we'll do is we'll do the show on Monday, and I'll have Scully cover on Thursday.
That would make a lot more sense,
yeah.
I think.
Okay, so we'll do that. So, yeah, we'll see you guys on Monday. One last Fuzzle Faggot Ridge Chronicle. And
we should try to get everybody from Fuzzle Faggot Ridge on the radio. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that would
pack them
all
into this room.
No, we'd do it out in the lounge, or the bar, or something. We could have like one communal microphone. You guys,
what are they gonna say? What?
None of them play the game.
So let's have conversations that don't roll on the
game. They're like, you assholes, stop getting all of our forks dirty, and then like, you know, stop.
You were shitting on their forks.
Stop dumping. Stop dumping entire potted plants into the heating grate.
You never explained what happened after that happened.
No, I don't know what the fuck, man. Like, I got up out of my chair.
Okay, so as far as I know, there is still a potted plant worth of soil in the heating
duct.
No,
I fixed it. I cleaned it up. So I'm like, I was sitting at the dining room table where I had been sitting, getting up and sitting down and getting up and sitting down for days and days as I worked.
Each time
at my computer
more precariously
apparently,
situating this plant.
Yeah, each time just tapping this plant a little bit. So one time I get up and it's just like, and the plant falls over and just dumps potting soil everywhere, including all over the grate for the heater. So, I mean, it was I picked it up. I got all the potting, you know, all the potting soil that was not in the grate back into the plant, patted it back. So the plant's gonna be fine. And then I it turns out there's a dust buster.
I see. Bus duster. Are we going to transition with some feist?
Yeah, we are. You know what? Maybe we'll do Monday and Thursday, or because it's the 8th. It's Friday that we fly out.
Oh.
I think. We flew in on a Thursday.
Okay.
We flew in on a Thursday and we fly out on a Friday. I think that's my wife just pointed that out to me. And, you know what? We'll figure it out. I don't
know that we can possibly figure things out.
Yeah, I'm gonna see you guys at some point.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Yes, it is. Friday.
Bye.